With the Tsukubas well underway, the initial plan had been to build just another pair of similar ships. But word of the new Dreadnought Armoured Cruiser program kicking off in the UK was just reaching Japan, and so it was decided to change the nature of the secondary battery to be somewhat more powerful. Although exactly what the British were actually building at this stage was still somewhat unclear. The 6-inch battery of the Tsukubas was therefore dropped in favour of a set of twin 8-inch gun turrets. But this increased the weight and the size of the hull, and that in turn meant that more power was needed, and soon it was pretty clear that, although related to the Tsukubas, the new ships were very definitely a brand new class rather than a subclass. The new armament also meant that the layout of the armour had to be revised, although the maximum thickness would remain the same, with the final results being a ship design that displaced just over 14,500 tonnes, with a main battery of 4 12-inch guns in a pair of twin turrets, one fore, one aft, a secondary battery of 8-inch guns in 4 twin turrets, 2 per side, along with 14 single 4.7-inch anti-torpedo boat guns in a mixture of both casemate and deck mountings, along with a number of 3-inch guns thrown in for good measure, plus 3 submerged torpedo tubes, one on each side and one astern. Armour remained with a maximum 7-inch thick belt and 2-inch thick deck, while speed crept up a fraction to just over 21 knots, thanks to around 23,000 shaft horsepower, which was delivered by 2 screws, by a pair of vertical triple expansion engines. At least at first on paper, more on that later. Now, there is some disagreement over what the class should actually be called. Two ships were laid down, Ibuki and Kurama. The Kurama was actually laid down first in August 1905 at Yokosuka, but with it anticipated that the war would be over before she could be completed, the yard's attention was instead focused on completing the battleship Satsuma faster, and then diverted to refitting and commissioning the various captured Russian battleships. And so Kurama's construction dragged, and she wouldn't actually enter service until 1911, whereas Ibuki, despite being laid down almost 2 years later in 1907 at Kure, would end up entering service over a year earlier than Kurama at the end of 1909. In any case, whatever you want to call them, the delays meant two things. Firstly, the emergence of the Invincible class meant the Japanese ships were rendered obsolete before they'd even entered service, but secondly, there was time to experiment with them. Kurama would receive a pair of massive tripod masts instead of the smaller and thinner pole masts, which made her immediately identifiable compared to the other 3 12-inch armoured cruisers of the Japanese Navy, and both Ibuki and Kurama would have 3 funnels compared to the Tsukuba's 2 as a result of the larger power plant that was needed to keep up the speed that was desired with the larger and heavier hull. Ibuki also featured a somewhat more hidden feature. She would be the first major Japanese warship to use turbine engines instead of vertical triple expansion engines, a change that was introduced about midway during her construction after she'd actually been launched. Now, although initially the turbines weren't that successful, Ibuki was then used as a testbed to make various improvements, not just to her own performance, but also to serve as a template for how they should be installed in other ships in the fleet, starting with the battleship Aki, whose own construction had been paused to allow lessons from the Ibuki to be noted. Like their predecessors, the two ships would then be reclassified as battlecruisers in 1912, and in World War I were employed on generally similar duties, first hunting for the East Asia Squadron, and then taking various German colonies. But Ibuki had a little bit more excitement, escorting one of the Anzac convoys. At one point, she was almost the ship that was sent after the German raider SMS Emden, although in the end, much to the consternation of her crew, HMAS Sydney, also escorting that convoy, was dispatched to take out the Emden, while Ibuki remained with the convoy in case Emden had any friends, something for which the Australian Navy would go on to express significant gratitude for whenever Ibuki's crew, or Japanese crews in general, called Australian ports in the aftermath of that engagement. After the war, the ships were actually quickly deemed obsolete. But while the Japanese Navy was considering what to do with them, two things happened. Firstly, the Japanese Army asked the Japanese Navy if they would mind building a 15-inch gun for use in coastal batteries. But then the Washington Naval Treaty happened, and that meant the 15-inch gun project was cancelled. Instead, it was decided that, well, since the treaty required that the Ibuki and Kurama be scrapped anyway, their turrets could be handed over to the Japanese army in lieu of the 15-inch guns, and the Japanese army promptly installed most of said turrets as coastal defense batteries at various strategic points around Japan, while the ships themselves were, of course, sent to the breakers.
That's it for this video. Thanks for watching. If you have a comment or suggestion for a ship to review, let us know in the comments below. Don't forget to comment on the pinned post for dry dock questions.